Now tonight, I want to take a few minutes and go over the greatest story in the Old Testament. No doubt about it, without a doubt, the greatest story in all of the Old Testament starts in Genesis, the 12th chapter. Now the Lord said to Abraham, "Get out of your country, from your kindreds, from your father's house. Go to a land that I'll show you, and I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. You will be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you. And I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed." God's calling to Abraham in chapter 12. In chapter 15, he says it again. "After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, 'Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceeding great reward.' And Abram said, 'Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus?' Then Abraham said, 'Look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "This one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body will be your heir." Then he brought him outside and said, Look, Abram, he's calling him Abram at this time. "Look now toward heaven and count the stars if you're able to." If you're able to number the stars. And he said to him, "So shall your descendants be." And he believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. Now, he says this again. You can turn over into the 17th chapter, and he says it a third time. Then Abraham was 99 years old. This time, and the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, "I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless, and I will make my covenant between me and you and will multiply you exceedingly." And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, "As for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations." Says this to him in the 17th chapter. And then in the 18th chapter, God appears to him, comes to him in the 18th chapter. Now this will be the fourth time he's had an encounter with him, and saying the same thing every time. Then he said, God said to Abraham, "Where is your wife Sarah?" Said he, "She's in the tent." And he said, "I will certainly return to you according to the time of life. And behold, Sarah, your wife, shall have a son." Now Sarah was listening. She was in the tent. And Sarah laughed and said, "Shall I have a child?" She was now 90 years old. "I'm going to have a child." And the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh, saying, 'Shall I surely have a child since I am old?' Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son." Four times he says that. Now, over in the 21st chapter, in the 21st chapter of Genesis, we have this. "And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did to Sarah as he had spoken, and she conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age, just at the time as God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him Isaac." And the child grew and was weaned. And at that time, now, during the meantime, before this last appointment, Sarah said to Abraham, I'm not able to have a child before these last two encounters, and said, maybe my handmaiden, an Egyptian girl, Hagar, maybe she's the one. So Abraham went in, had a relationship with Hagar, and she bore a son, Ishmael. And Abraham loved this boy and thought it was. And now God says now to Sarah at this time, now he comes and Sarah has a son. And Ishmael is there. And you know the story. Ishmael's mother, Hagar, disliked. Sarah was jealous and disliked Sarah. And they had a conflict, the two women, at that time. And Hagar left and came back. And now her son is about 13 years old. And Isaac is weaned. And at the time that Isaac is weaned, the child grew and was weaned. And Abraham made a great feast for Isaac the same day that he was weaned. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, whom she had borne to Abraham, scorning this situation. And Sarah said to Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be an heir with my son, Isaac. And this matter was very displeasing to Abraham in his sight because he loved his son. But God said to Abraham, do not let it displease you in your sight, because this lad of the bondwoman will not be your heir. Whatever Sarah has said to you, listen to her voice, for in Isaac your seed shall be called. And Abraham felt so bad when he sent this boy away, who was now about 15, and sent him away and gave a bag of water to the mother, to Hagar, and a loaf of bread, and sent them away, and it broke his heart. But he knew God said do it. And it really, he loved this boy, even though now it's not going to be the heir. But he had, for 13 years, 15 years, he's loved this boy. And now he's heartbroken. And God takes his son. And then in the 22nd chapter, God speaks to Abraham again. After these 10 chapters have gone, and Abraham is now an older man, and Isaac is now about 13 or 14 years old. And it came to pass that God tested Abraham and said to Abraham, here I am. And Abraham answered, God called him, and Abraham said, here I am, Lord. And he said, take now your son, your only son, the other one's gone, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains on which I will tell you. Now, four times he's told Abraham that you're going to be great. You're going to have a great nation will come from your seed, and you will bless all the families of the earth. And now he says, take the only son left. You've already sent the other one away. The one you've got left that you love so dearly, take him and go to the mountain that I will show you and offer him as a burnt offering. Kill him and burn him up and offer him like you do the lamb. Abraham had made many burnt offerings to the Lord. And Abraham gets up early in the morning and gets Isaac, two of his servants, a donkey. And then he says he split the wood. And he says specifically, he cut the wood, knowing that every piece of wood would be on fire under his son to burn him up. So contrary to the four things he's told him. Take your son now, the one that's going to be the father of the nations, and offer him as a burnt offering for me. Do what I say. Abraham gets up early. I've always thought that he never told Sarah. I just can't imagine him telling her. And takes his son, gets the wood on the donkey, and heads out the three toughest days of anybody's life. Any man that ever lived, never heard it tougher. And on the third morning, God says, that's the mountain, probably Mount Calvary. And he leaves the two men there in the donkey, and it says he puts the wood on Isaac's back. What a picture. What a picture. He puts the wood on his back, and he has the fire, and Isaac says to him, he says, I see the wood, and I see the fire, and you've got the wood and the fire, and he says specifically, he took the knife in his hand and the fire, and he put the wood on Abraham. But Isaac says, as he started off, but where is the lamb? Where is the offering, Dad? Where is the offering? Where is it? And he doesn't answer that question. He had to answer him, and they go walk the rest of the way up to the mountain. Abraham and Isaac, and somewhere in that walk, when they arrived, Abraham has to tell him that you are that offering. I just can't even imagine it. And Isaac cries and screams and cries and begs. I know he did, because I know Jesus cried and talked to ask God, is there another way? So I know he did. And he cried and asked his father, Dad, Papa, isn't there? Are you sure? Are you sure that God said, kill me? I mean, this was a man just like any father, but this is a special father. He's waited. He's over 114 or 15 years old. And this son, he's all of his life, he's thought about it. This is not just another son. This is the promised son that every hope is in, that they have pampered and raised. And now God says, kill him. Kill him. A burnt offering. And it says Abraham built the altar, put the stones together, built that altar. I can't tell it like it really was. I just can't, but God will help you to get the story. It's the greatest story in the Old Testament, the greatest story, nothing like it. Abraham put the stones together. Every stone weighed a ton. Laid those stones. Isaac has begged him. And how it happened, I don't know. But Isaac led him, had such faith in his father. Broken, he ties him, it says. Ties his hands and his feet and lays him on the altar. And the fire is over here. As soon as he kills him, put the fire under him. And takes the knife and draws it back. And Isaac, shut his eyes. He killed him in his heart. And just when he's bringing his hand down on his son, angel stops him. He says, Abraham, Abraham. He says, yes. He says, don't kill him. Stop. Now I know that you will you'll do whatever I say. You've put him, me, before your son. And he looks. There's a ram caught by the horns somewhere close by. And he unties Isaac. And the two of them put that lamb on. Talk about hugging and thankful when he did. Talk about. Thank you, Jesus. But now listen. This was the father of the Jewish nation. Isaac told this story. Told it to all of them. This story that God came first. Isaac told it to Jacob. It had to be out of this sacrifice. And the death of Isaac actually died in his heart. The Jewish nation would come. And out of that Jewish nation would come the Savior of the world, Jesus Christ. But the wonderful thing is, Jesus, when he went through and he was to die, and the day came and he told his 12 apostles that he was going to die, told the 11 now, one is gone. And he went out and says, come and pray with me. And he goes out to the garden and he prays the Garden of Gethsemane. And he says, twice it says he falls on his face. He falls flat on his face, Jesus, and cries out to God. God, if there's some other way, if there's some other way that you could save mankind, please. Then he says in one of the Gospels, he says, I forget which one, he says, God, all things are possible for you. You're God Almighty. There has to be. Could there be another way? God says, no, no other way. And he falls. And he says he sweat like blood. And he cried mightily out to God. Ask him, God, but if there's no other way, yes, yes, yes. If there's no other way. He goes back to see the men and wakes them up and sees Peter, couldn't you pray an hour with me? And he goes back and he prays it again. The third, he asks God three times, could you save people some other way? God says, no, can't answer you, son. And he says, get up. It's over. I'm going. There's no other way. I'm giving myself. I'm saying, yes, thy will be done. Yes. Yes to the cross. Yes to the cross. They arrest him. You know the story. They take him down to the high priest. They slap his face. They spit in his face. And he goes to Herod. And then from Herod back to Pilate. And then Pilate has him whipped, beaten. They take him out and beat him unmercifully. And they come back and put a crown of thorns on him. He's bleeding. They press it down and they spit at him. And they hit him on the head and they bring him out. And that's not the worst. And then they put the cross on him. Just like Isaac had carried the wood, he carried the cross. Carried the cross, and finally he can't carry it any longer. They get Simon the Cyrene to carry it. They bring him out and they nail him to the cross, blood pouring out of his hands, out of his feet, tie his feet, nail his feet. His back is bleeding from his head down his legs. His face is bleeding. His hands crucified. And they lift him on the cross. And then he cries out because God has to turn his back on his son. And you can see a little of God in this Abraham. We got a picture of the father. How God felt when he had to let Jesus bear the sins and to turn into sun from 12 o'clock to 3 o'clock on that Good Friday. The sun refused to shine. Darkness covered the earth. I don't know what went on in heaven. I've often wondered what went on in heaven when Jesus hung on the cross and the Father saw his Son that he loved infinitely more than Abraham, God. But he saw you and he saw me. He saw us. He saw us. And Jesus cried out, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. My God, why have you forsaken me?" And God turned his back on Jesus, the sins of the world, and he was cut off from God so that you would not be cut off from God. So that you could have life given to you. Isn't this something? This is the story of Abraham and Isaac. And the Jewish world are blinded and they can't see. This is their Bible. This was Abraham and Isaac, the father of their race. It had to be. But blindness happened to the Jews in part. As Paul said, in part, thank God it didn't totally. There are some Jews, but basically blindness came that God could embrace the Gentiles and could embrace you and embrace me and bring us in. Oh, thank you, God. But one day the last Gentile is coming in and the gospel light is coming back. And Abraham's story is going to be fulfilled. And the Jews are going to come back and see the Savior. But thank God that he let these 2,000 years go. And I came and you came. Folks, we need to get the vision. Jesus, help me tonight. Help you tonight to see this is what's important. It's not the house you live in. It's not the car you drive. It's not your bank account. It's not the clothes you wear. It's knowing Jesus, that you've got hope eternal, that we've found him. Let's get the vision and go with it, because soon the door is going to close. But what a story that is in the Old Testament, and it was a total fulfillment. And I think of God and what happened in heaven when the lights went out and the curtain was ripped in the temple and the rocks shook and redemption came. Thank God for that resurrection morning when Jesus Christ came back alive out of the grave and ascended back to Father. And what a hope that came to you and came to me. God help us tonight. God help us to get it, to understand the price that was paid that we could come. And he asked us, put our Isaacs on the altar and get the right value system in light. God bless you tonight. Pastor, you come and take over. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise God. You know, in most of our lives, Isaac is ourselves. It's our dreams, our plans, our future, our vision of what our life is supposed to be. And we often try to bring this into the kingdom of God, but it just doesn't go. And if we're going to know the fullness of what God has provided for us in Christ, we have to have a willingness to lay this down and reckon it, as Paul said, to be dead, that Christ may raise us and give us life. And that's what you're hearing this evening. It's a great story. And all through the evening, right from 5:30 onward, we've been talking about the supernatural life of God, the life that God is willing to give anybody who's here tonight, to take us where only he can and to make us into that which only he can make us into. But it does require that we have to let go of what we think with our own minds and see with our own eyes and feel with our own hands. Everything that we put before us and say, if life could be this, then life would be fulfilling. And to be willing to let it go and say, God, whatever you have for me, that's what I want my life to be. I was just like you in my 20s. I had a vision, especially after I got free from fear. I was bound by fear for 9 years. And when I got free, my family had always wanted me to go to law school. And I did go in part, got an undergraduate degree. But I literally couldn't even fathom the thought of doing anything like that, of being in legal work, because I couldn't stand before people. I couldn't stand before three people, let alone a courtroom full of them. But when I got free, then suddenly everything became a reality that I had ever wanted to be, or felt others felt that I should be, may I put it that way. And it was a battle, I'll tell you straight out. When you're suddenly free from the penalty of your sin, before you is, in a sense, the capability of doing everything you thought your life should be. And yet on the other side, there's this voice saying, step out, look at the stars. I can do so much more than anything that you can plan. You can only make an Ishmael. I can fill the sky with what I can do through your life and the numbers of people who can be blessed and the things that you can leave behind if you will simply let go of what you think your life should be and walk with me. I'd like to say tonight it was easy. It wasn't. It was a real battle for me. I'd like to say that after I finally got into another line of work and began to prosper in it, and God called me to leave it all to pastor a little group of, I forget how many people now, it wasn't very many, meeting in a hotel in a town that was not open to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I remember looking at it, and it looked like financial and personal suicide to follow this direction. It made no sense other than the fact that God was calling me to do it. In order to do it, I had to lay down my future. I had to lay down my plans. I had to lay down my present successes. I had to lay down my worries about my kids. How would they go to school? Even worried about their teeth, if their teeth went crooked. My mother had a big thing about teeth, and she instilled that in me. And, you know, how are you going to fix their teeth if their teeth go crooked? So I worried about that. I worried about if my car breaks down. What if I can't pay the rent? And all the what ifs. You have to take that and lay it down and say, God, I choose to follow you. And not only that, there were voices all around me telling me I was doing something foolish. People who didn't know God, and sad to say, a few who did. But yet in my heart, I knew there was something more. I still know it even today. We always have Ishmaels and Isaacs that come into our lives, and God says, would you please give that to me? And he has something so much better for every life. And tonight, if we're going to know a spiritual awakening in our generation, it will require something deeper than going to church. Something deeper than praying in the occasional prayer meeting and asking God to bless our plans. That has been tried for 30 years and has produced nothing of spiritual life. It will require a people like you and I who say, Lord, take me and do with my life what you will. That's the essence of spiritual awakening. It doesn't really come any other way. You don't get it in Bible school. You don't get it by study. As good as those things are, it really does come from the surrendered life. When the life that we have is surrendered to God, that's where the miraculous starts to happen. I thank God to this day that I left behind what I could see to inherit what I couldn't, but it was there. God had it. I could never have made it happen. Never. In my wildest dreams, I could never envision the things that God has done. The countries I have visited, the farmer knocking on my door telling me he'd fill my freezer with beef as long as I was hungry. The miracle after miracle that happened. It's been an awesome life to walk with God. It has been. And I want to encourage you to be willing to take the journey. Now, God is merciful. He'll take it piece by piece, line by line, little by little, because he won't give us more than we can handle. Thank God for that. But he'll reason with us and lead us and guide us and give us a sense. It's a deep inner sense in the heart that he has something much more for us than what we've settled for. I thank God for you tonight. I want to encourage everyone who's here, who's heard this word, which is deeper than a word. It was a burden. I don't know if you could hear that tonight. It was a burden of the Holy Spirit. He has so much more to give us than we could ever get for ourselves if we will let go of what is only temporary and lay hold of what is eternal. You'd be amazed what God could do through your life. You'd be amazed. You'd be dumbfounded of where you'll be found 5 years from now. Never ever believing you'd ever do what God's going to give you the grace to do. Never thinking life could be anything like this. God will do it. If you and I just learn to follow step by step. If it's in your heart tonight to make this journey, I'm going to ask in a moment that we're going to stand and ask you to come forward to the front of this auditorium tonight. And I'm going to ask Brother Crandall to come back and pray for you. And we're going to believe God for something miraculous to happen in the heart. When I got up, the first time I heard a message like this, there's an old experience. Anybody here ever played pool? I'm sure of it, absolutely sure of it, looking at this crowd. It's only a game. There's nothing wrong. Anyways, there's an old expression. You're so far behind the eight ball, you have no shot at it whatsoever. And that's exactly where I was. I was so far behind the eight ball, there was no chance of winning this thing. But I stepped out of my seat and I came forward and I said, Lord, I really don't have much. But what I do have, you can have it. And I have an inner sense you won't fail me and you won't lead me on a spiritual goose chase. You'll make it really clear to me and you'll help me to follow you. I had a sense in my heart that God had something for me. Now, I could at that moment have said, no, I'd rather just do it my way. I'd still go to heaven. But what a tragedy when many of us get to heaven and only then see what life could have been. We arrive with an Ishmael, and when we could have had descendants like the stars, it could have been so much more that God would have done. And it requires that, hallelujah, that giving, just that willingness to say, Lord, where you lead me, I'll follow you. It's not complicated, but it does take faith. Now, Father, I thank you for tonight. I thank you, Lord, for this wonderful word this evening. How we started out talking about faith, actually started out talking about Abraham and ended up talking about Abraham because you're calling many of us into a walk of faith. And whatever that means for us, Lord, wherever it takes us, I ask you, God, for grace. Today, as much as we've ever needed it before, we need it now. Help us to say yes to you, Lord, and to walk through every door that you open before us. And I thank you for this in Jesus' name. We're going to sing just for a moment. If the Holy Spirit is drawing you tonight, you want to make that choice in your life. Let's stand and just make your way to the front of the auditorium. Brother Crandall will come again shortly and pray for you. God bless you. Let's stand, please, if you will. You can go to the either exit in the balcony, slip out of where you are in the main sanctuary, and just come. In the annex, make your way over. We'll wait for you here tonight. God bless you.
Maybe there's someone here tonight that God is calling to go as a missionary. He wants to lay your ambitions down and say yes. It'll be untold what God will do with your life, just like the pastor said. There's some folks here tonight that God is saying, put your Isaac on the altar and see what I will birth out of your life, like I did Abraham when he put Isaac on the altar. God wants to do something. There's young people. God wants you to go as missionaries, to become a minister, to give your life to him, or to become a worker, whatever it is. Lay Isaac on the altar with the faith that Abraham had tonight, and let God take your life. Let him have it. It's unbelievable, like the pastor said, what God will do with us and with you. I can remember when on I poured out my life to God and said yes to God. I, of all things, never wanted to be a minister. I knew I couldn't, but I said yes to God in a lot of tears and on my face. Came to Brooklyn and slept on the floor and lived it like that. But I had peace. Never dreamed I'd be preaching here in this place with this pastor and other places that I've preached, like in St. Patrick's Cathedral, where the only evangelical to ever be asked to preach there. And when you think of it, here I was, a nothing. My own brothers and family said he could never preach. He could never do it. You know that, Ben. You know you can't be a minister. You know that. I did know it. But God knew that he could take the weakest and the least and do something with you. We invite you tonight, say yes to God. To you mothers and fathers, say yes to God tonight. God has a plan. Every life is important. Your life, there's no one like you. There'll never be another you. You're unique. Say yes to God. Put Isaac on the altar and let there come the birth of God's plan in your life tonight. Hallelujah. Oh, if you can hear him tonight, give yourself to him. I wish I could do it for you, but you can't. You've got to do it. But let God have his way. When he says give something, give it to him. When he says offer something, offer it to him. Because he'll take it and touch it and bless it and multiply it. Give him of your time and let him multiply it and bless it. Whatever he asks for, your talent. He's asking you for something. And you put it in his hands. And my incredible, look, the Jewish nation came. The Savior of the world came out of Abraham's seed. Incredible when you put Isaac on the altar and let God have his hand on it, what God will do. Give him your life tonight. Give it to him. Put your hands up right now all over this building. And let's make a greater consecration to him. Say yes to God. Father, let us say yes to you. Help the people. Help the young people. Help the mothers, the fathers, the grandparents, all of us, God, to say yes to you tonight. God, we ask you to take vessels and send revival not only to New York, but send workers out of this church to the ends of the earth. God, to those that have never heard. God, give us the great vision that the things that really matter are things of eternity. Help us to catch the vision, Jesus. Give us your love. Give us your strength. Give us your blessing tonight, God. Touch the people all over this place, we pray. Hallelujah. Let's lift our voice to him tonight. Let God come down with your power and your spirit and move upon us. Call some young man to the ends of the earth. Call some young woman, God, to give herself to you. God, speak to people, to parents, to commit their children to you. God, let us say yes to you. Yes tonight. Yes tonight. Yes, Jesus. You said yes for us, and we say yes back to you tonight. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, let's give him our souls and our life and our strength tonight. And let him touch us. Touch your place, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise him tonight because he'll take you. He'll take the least, hallelujah. He can take the one that nobody thinks can do anything and shake the world, hallelujah. It's God, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise God. Let God arise, let his enemies be scattered. Lord, we want to thank you for a wonderful evening of prayer and praise and in your word, God. We are encouraged, we're gladdened, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that it's wonderful to be placed in the hands of God. Use us as you will, Lord. Bring glory to your name, O God. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Take time and make a friend tonight. Will you take time to talk to one another? Nobody should ever leave lonely from the house of God. God bless you.